Al's going to be sharing the first of a two-part series on the building up and tearing down of strongholds. Now, this is a teaching that is primarily for women, and so she's a little bit threatened about all you guys being in here, so I know that y'all understand that. We really believe this, that that Annabelle is under submission to her husband, and that as such, she's not viewed as teaching down to men, so to speak. We believe that this is demonstrated by our life, and that the Spirit will bear witness to you that that's true. So really, guys, this message, these two messages are going to be directed toward the gals. The diagrams are all of female, and we all flunk the physical for the diagrams and so forth. But we're going to have to, we're going to be permitted to kind of sit in and listen to this teaching, which is primarily to the gals, but we're going to get a whole lot out of it because we can generalize over from the illustrations and apply them to our situations as males. This is a strong, strong teaching, my brothers and sisters, that will really be used by the Lord to help you walk in the Spirit instead of after the flesh. Okay, Val.
Okay, as we begin tonight, let me urge you to let your mind dwell on who you are in Christ Jesus. That truth is going to be very important to you tonight, because I'm going to be talking about flesh patterns. I'm going to be talking about very intense flesh patterns, strongholds. Some of you are sitting out there and your emotions are like at 7.5, 8, 8.5, 9, 9.5. What I'm going to be sharing at different points this evening, and we're going to end on a very negative note tonight. Tomorrow night it'll be better. But what I'm going to be sharing is going to make emotions come up maybe 2.5, 3 points. So if you're sitting at 8 and your emotions try to go up, what's going to happen? They're going to be hitting the top, you know, where they're crying out for release. And some of you are going to be saying, I can't endure this. I don't want to hear this. Don't listen to that. Just stay and just ask the Lord to show you the truth of what I'm trying to share with you about the building up of strongholds, strategies for living the victorious Christian life. That's the subtitle of all of this. And each one of these teachings give to us these strategies for victorious Christian living. Now, the scripture that we're going to be using is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. So if you'd like to turn with me there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, strongholds. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now you keep your Bibles open and follow that same scripture. I'm going to read it to you again. I'm going to read from the J.B. Phillips translation, which I think clarifies even more that scripture. The truth is that, although of course we lead normal human lives, the battle we're fighting is on the spiritual level. The very weapons we use are not those of human warfare, but powerful in God's warfare for the destruction of the enemy's strongholds. Our battle is to bring down every deceptive fantasy and every imposing defense that men erect against the true knowledge of God. We even fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. Now then, there are three categories listed in that scripture. And all of these notes are in this little blue booklet there. It's very extensive. There are three categories listed in that scripture. The first category, the King James Version, labels it as imaginations. The RSV is arguments. The New American Standard as speculations, and Phillips is deceptive fantasy. The second category, the King James Version calls it every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. The RSV and NAS are pretty common in their translation, every proud obstacle, and Phillips, every imposing defense. The third category is common in all of them, every thought. I want to talk just a minute about each of those categories. And the first thing that I want to do is to tell you a real life story that will perhaps give you some insight into what I'm talking about, building up strongholds. It will refresh your memories on how patterns are burned into our memory banks as children. Give you some insight into yourself and to others. Okay, the story I'm going to tell you is about a little boy named John. Everybody's John and Mary. Little boys need to relate to their dads, right? They need to have their dad's approval. They need to have their dad's acceptance. They want dad to spend time with them. They want dad to train them. Well, that's just innate in every little boy. They desire their father's love, affection, approval. Well, John's dad had some pretty destructive patterns. Flesh. We don't hold that against John's dad. John's dad was a little boy one time. And you go back to where he lived and he learned about himself from his daddy. Oh, but don't hold it too hard against John's dad. You go back and you see what I'm saying. All right, now, what kind of patterns did John's dad have? Well, he was a perfectionist, a super, super perfectionist, not only for himself, but everybody around him. And he could really be verbal. He could let it all hang out. When you didn't do what he wanted you to at the level that he wanted you to, you had no doubt but that you had disappointed him. And he was explosive. He had a volatile temper. Now then, this is what John's dad was like. To give you an incident in his life, to show you how it happened. One day, and this is all years 1 through 6, one day, John's daddy took him out to the lake for an outing, and you say, well, E for effort. Yes, that's good. They rented a high-speed motorboat. They got in, and dad, of course, hit the throttle, wide open, and started zooming across the lake, and John was delighted. All his emotions were high with the exhilaration of being out there bouncing over those waves and the spray in his face. Oh, he was so happy. And his dad went across the lake and threw some little arms and necks and other, you know, little connecting bodies, and John's heart was fairly singing. So they got it back into a little isolated, it's a true life story now, as I say, the names are changed to protect the innocent. They get back to a little isolated body of water, and John's dad stops the boat, takes a map of the lake out of his pocket, and he turns to John and he says, John, you find the way back to the dock. Well, John's heart just came up in his throat. He looked at his dad with sheer terror on his face, and he just said, I can't. And so John's dad, being the perfectionist that he was, wanting his son to perform, he let John know in no uncertain terms, you can't. And he let him know that he had disappointed him terribly. And he just exploded, you know. And then, in silence, he opened the throttle full again and headed back across the lake and back to the dock. And little John's emotions were high again. But the spray that was coming into his face just hid the tears that were coming because he had disappointed Daddy again. Now, those are the kind of incidents in John's life.